This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, G. Yeah, 15 points in the first quarter, getting drilled, and then 99 points the rest of the way, and of course 71 points in the second half, and KD has a triple-double of monstrous proportions. You know, when you talk about his shooting last night, 16 to 23, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, that's a Hall of Fame performance. That's put the team on my shoulders, let me go, and let me go do my thing. I give James Harden a lot of credit for playing because he's not right. He is definitely not right. I would be surprised if he plays tomorrow. And I think that they may hold him out for a game seven. You know, this is how these games got to be played. You know, having him out there, it helps. But, you know, you could see that his you know, shooting is a lot with your legs as well as your hands and your arms and your just your ability to shoot.
He was like a decoy last night is what he was.
But he was out there. Yeah. And I give him credit for being out there in a must-win game. But, you know, a lot of this credit goes to Kevin Durant, who basically put the team on his shoulders and said, we're not losing this game. His performance in the second half was just absolutely stunning. And his buddy Jeff Green helped out enormously. You know, Jeff Green, he shot 7 from 8 from threes. That's how you win NBA games, right? It's a make or miss league. You tell me this all the time. And that was it. I mean, now if they go on to win this series and Kyrie can come back and somehow James Harden can get healthier, tonight, or last night, I should say, was a defining moment for Kevin Durant. Because that's why you have him, as you said. That was some performance.
Yeah, I wonder if James Harden hadn't started this game, would the Nets have been down so much? Because it almost seemed like they had to learn how to play with Harden being completely ineffective. And then it was midway through the third quarter where they were like, okay, he's just not going to be a part of what we're doing offensively. He can't hit a shot. He's going to be out here just for his basketball IQ. He had a great pass to Durant as Durant got free in the paint, and that was contributing offensively. But I thought to myself, as they were down 14, 17 in the second and third quarter, I said, James Harden should have never played because he's totally useless. And I wonder if this game had gone a different way if he didn't play. And it will be fascinating to see what they do in Game 6. Reggie Miller tweeted after the game, do you rest James Harden and Kevin Durant in Game 6 and then go all the way in Game 7? The fact that question is even being asked just tells you what the NBA is today. And the guy played 46 minutes. You know, if he comes out of that okay and he feels the same as he did going into this Game 5, I would play him because you saw the rust, and it was more than just rust. Obviously, he wasn't healthy. But, I mean, if he could be out there and just facilitate and Kevin Durant can do that again, because who knows, too? The other side of this coin is if James Harden isn't in there, is it tougher for Kevin Durant because they're still paying attention to James Harden? I don't know the answer. I don't know how much of a factor it was that James Harden was out there but totally ineffective.
Well, I will say that last night all the pressure was on Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
It was all on him, and he took it. And, you know, big-time athletes, great players show up in the biggest of moments and the moments that you need them the most.
I put the team on my back, dude.
That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. But, again, I don't want to discount what Jeff Green did last night either.
No.
Jeff Green was awesome. So you got to have a co-chair, if you will.
Sure.
And he had one last night, and it was good for James Harden to show up. And he played 46 minutes, my God. That shows you how important this game was to Steve Nash and to Sean Marks and everybody else over there. That, you know, you put a guy out there that is, I don't know, when this when the whole thing ends, whenever their season does end, whether it's this series, the next series, or the championship series, we'll hear about all the injuries. You know, yeah. We'll hear about the swan songs and all that other stuff. But right now, this morning you wake up, if you're a Net fan, you say, this is why we invested all this money into these guys, especially into Kevin Durant. Because Kevin Durant was just, I'm trying to think. You would know better than I would, and obviously basketball fans that are out there that know Kevin Durant's career and everything. I could say that this is one of the best games he has ever played.
Sure. I mean, and I would think under the circumstances, too. Because he did win two finals MVPs and was spectacular in back-to-back NBA finals. But, you know, he never was in
Steph
this...
Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson.
Right. He was never in this type of situation where
this is...
you got 20% of James Harden and a bunch of decent NBA players around you in a Game 5 against a team that's got something to prove that, by the way, you can't take seriously. You just can't take the Bucks seriously.
So on the other side of the flip coin, did you talk about the flip side of the coin? How do you feel if you're the Bucks? I mean, you had this game last night if you wanted it.
How do you feel? You feel like the coach is probably going to go at the end of the season if they lose this series, which I fully expect them to. You wonder about Giannis. I mean, it's not like he was terrible last night, but it's one of those things where if you really are that superstar, if you are a guy like Kevin Durant, you don't let that happen to your team.
Wait. Stop comparing him to Kevin Durant.
He's
you
not.
Can't do that.
I know. I'm comparing him to say that he's not Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant told Jay Williams, don't be comparing me to that guy.
You can't compare. It's no comparison.
That guy's not even on the same page. I told you this.
It's true, though. It's true.
It is true.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why Kevin Durant decided. Maybe he was just messing. Maybe he was just saying, come on, man. You know, I'm me. He's him. You know, we know what the deal is here.
Right.
I mean, Kevin's a very, very, I would say, positive and very secure person on the basketball court.
Yeah, then on Twitter, maybe not so much.
Maybe it's his alter ego. I don't know. But it was one of the great performances. It really was. I mean, you'd have to go back. And like we were talking about, when he was with the Warriors, you know, he had all those great guys, and it was probably a lot easier for him. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think about what you said about how Harden being out there probably made it a little bit easier for him. Not
you would
a lot.
Think. Yeah.
But, I mean, he made some shots last night that were ridiculous. Yeah. Remember when Chris Paul came and beat the Knicks at the end of the season? Mm-hmm. And you remember a couple of the last 3 minutes of the game?
Yeah,
where he just took over.
Did he make that?
Right. That's how I felt about watching, you know, Kevin Durant last night.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the Islander game is concerned, here's the thing. I thought the officiating last night against both teams was horrific.
Mm-hmm.
The first Islander goal should not have been a goal. Braden Point gets shoved in the back, thrown into Varlamov. And he gets into the penalty box. I mean, come on. That is not a penalty.
It was a penalty on Pelech.
Yes,
that's what
exactly.
It was. It was a cross check in the back.
So, which leads me to my next point. If you watched the game closely last night, there must have been about 50 cross checks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 50 cross checks in the back by both teams. So the officials let the game get out of hand. The other thing is on the Palat goal, there's seven guys on the ice. Maybe the seventh isn't really in the play. He's by the bench and he's going to get off the ice. But when you have six men on the ice and you're playing defense against six men, you're not expecting a guy to come flying off the bench and going right down the middle of the ice.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking that guy's not even on the ice.
Yep.
And then, of course, you have the $9.5 million man, Kucherov, who doesn't count against the salary cap during the season, in the middle of all this stuff.
No, three incredible assists last night.
Right, because this is the way the NHL wants it. And this is why I was talking about competitive imbalance.
Yeah.
You could see how good he is and how important he is and what a great player he is and how he is completely dynamic. But the one thing from the Islanders' perspective last night, they didn't give up. Barzal scores a late goal, which is good because that means his goal scoring is continuing. He's still hot. He's still going to obviously be omnipresent. Vasilevskiy was ridiculous last night. Made a couple of just
that save in the first period.
On Palmieri.
On Palmieri, where, it was essentially an open net. The puck was going to go in. He is sprawled out and then makes that glove save as he's heading belly first to the ground. I mean, was unbelievable.
I thought the Islanders also had a couple really bad turnovers. You know, when you play defense and you're
and your team is
playing against a very fast, very talented and very prideful team. Like I thought, Tampa would come out last night and it was going to be difficult to beat them.
Well, they came out and played a physical game too.
You can't just wrap the puck around the boards arbitrarily and think that it's going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Scott Mayfield has been guilty of this. And last night it was Pelech was guilty of this. And those bad plays, those nervous plays, and I'm, you know, those guys are great. Pelech's a great player. He just made a bad play, made a bad decision. And maybe he was trying to do something. I think he was trying to deflect it off the glass off to one of his players so his players could get the puck out. But when you just kind of arbitrarily wrap it around the boards like that, you know, it's most times it's not going to get out, especially against an aggressive team like Tampa. So Barry Trotz will have these guys ready to go for game three. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I mean, coming home up 2-0 would have been crazy.
You got what you had to do.
Yeah, you did.
You have home ice advantage now.
Right, you did
what you had to do in the first two games, and now you got to come home and you got to play in front of your maniac fans.
Yeah.
I mean, Tampa's fans are like dead.
No, of course they are. I mean, and that's maybe part of that has to do. Well, no, because they didn't even play in front of anybody when they won the Cup last year, so it doesn't even matter. I was going to say, sometimes there's a little bit of like, hey, we won the Cup last year, and this is only the semifinal, you know, and we'll get all fired up for the Cup. But they're just not the same type of fans. We knew that. But they did. You have to give them credit because they came out. They were accused of being lifeless in game one. They were physical. I mean, Matt was in the middle of everything. He was fighting everybody in the beginning of this game.
Well, his middle name is Skirmish.
I mean, my goodness, Frakus. Frakus Martin.
Yeah, whatever you want to call him. Yeah. Well, but that's you know, the one thing about the Islanders that you do appreciate is that they're not going to back down. They're not. I mean, you mess with any one of their players, they're not backing down.
Yeah.
And now Cal Clutterbuck's a maniac.
Yep.
You know, he's another one. And I give you. Know, I don't think Maroon really wanted to fight Matt.
Yeah. It was
trying to hold on to him, and Matt's trying
grab
to fight
fest,
him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Maroon was doing, but anyway. But that's who the Islanders are. They will drop the gloves. The helmets will come off, and they're going to stick up for each other.
I really dislike the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, really dislike
it. Do you really?
That.
Well, you're an Islander fan.
Well,
at least right now you are.
I mean, of course I want the Islanders to win. I'm not going to sit there and tell you that I'm a diehard Islander fan because I'm not. I am rooting for them, and I'm into this, and I want them to win. But I just cannot stand the Tampa Bay Lightning.
You
from
know,
their broadcast to this whole thing about the bringing Kucherov back, and how annoying is he because he's so good.
Yes.
I mean, it's like the puck is stuck to his stick like a magnet. And he's just, it's like a video game with him. He's just, he's got a right, look, he's got eyes on every side of his head. He finds guys.
And by the way, you got to remember now, you know, so he had hip surgery at the end of last season after they had won the Cup. He went in and had hip surgery. So I'm not saying that his injury was disguised or anything. He had a legitimate injury, hadn't skated at all right after that. Obviously, had to go through all of his, rehab and getting ready to play. And now he essentially is the one player on the ice who's playing with fresh legs.
Yeah.
And you could see it, and it's up and down the ice. I still – and I would bitch even louder if it were the Rangers that had to deal with this, but there is a competitive imbalance with the way that the NHL does their salary cap, and it shouldn't be allowed. I'm not saying that the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, they're here, but – they were able to manipulate their own cap because they could bury $9.5 million of Kucherov's money off the cap at the beginning of the year, not at the trade deadline, at the beginning of the year, which allowed them to keep some of the players like a Tyler Johnson, who's also a little pain in the ass skating all over the place. He's a good player, but most likely they wouldn't have been able to keep him had Kucherov been healthy and on, on the team. So, I hate it. I hate the way that they do it. I guess if my team benefited from it, then I wouldn't care. And like I said, Chicago did it with Patrick Kane back in 2015.
It's something the NHL has to fix. And the Islanders, unfortunately, just like the other teams Tampa Bay has had to play in this postseason, are going to have to deal with it. But you could just tell. I mean, in watching these series from Pittsburgh to Boston to Tampa Bay, when Tampa Bay is on like they were last night, they're just at a different level. They're just, their skill is at a different level than these other teams. It's going to be one hell of a task to knock them out.
I was also going to say that on the Brock Nelson goal, it was a Ryan McDonagh giveaway.
Yeah, it was. It was, which you've seen plenty of those in your lifetime.
Yeah, but no, he's still a great player. Still makes a lot of great plays.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary. Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Last night, in a game that they had to win, James Harden, where he's not 100%, is out there playing over 40 minutes with a bum hamstring to try to make this team win. And Kevin Durant, with all the pressure in the world on his shoulders, puts up an all-time performance. So with all the crap that has been thrown at them, at least last night, they picked it up and threw it right back. And there's still a long way to go in this series, but the Bucks are just... I mean, if that is not a fakakta franchise, I don't know what is. They should just, instead of B-U-C-K-S, it should just be fakakta across the front with the same deer head. Good morning, Jerry. How's it going over there?
It goes well. We're brought to you by Winters Brothers Waste Systems, Long Island's number one choice for all your waste collection and recycling needs. Visit wintersbros.com. Down 17. Indeed, the Nets came roaring back.
Approaching 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Kevin Durant with 38 points tonight. Moving into the front court. Out of the right wing. Three all the way. Got it again! 41 for KD.
Oh.
Nets back on top.
And that was Chris Carino with the call on the fan.
Oh, did I enjoy that?
Oh, that was great.
Now, was that last night? Or is that just, no, that was not last night. Okay, they won
did
one.
Did he do an instant reaction video? Nothing?
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Why would you not?
He said he was too fried to do it.
So I wondered if he was sobbing.
Too fried? What type of effort does it take?
Emotionally fried. He tweeted
Which
out.
I understand the back and forth nature of the fourth quarter. I can understand that, but I still think your people want to hear from you.
Absolutely, they do.
Fried.
I mean, that's one of the more thrilling wins I've seen in a long time. Why would you not do one?
And the video vultures were probably salivating and circling around him last night.
He had such a chance to go digital.
Oh, I agree.
Huge.
And we know how this company likes digital, and he blew it.
Right. The Odyssey video vultures were out, and they were squawking last night, and he delivered nothing.
Nothing.
Wow.
That is so disappointing.
It really is.
Well, Durant had 49 points, played all 48 minutes. He was 16 of 23 from the floor, 17 rebounds, 10 assists.
I put the team on my back, dude.
Dude.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He did. Yeah. And don't dismiss Jeff Green, who had 27 off the bench, hit his first seven threes. Here was Durant on TNT afterwards. No rest.
I wasn't planning on playing every minute, but as the game started to flow, we got down. I told Coach that, if you need to take me out for a couple, it's cool, but I feel good, and he just let me ride it out.
And he played the entire game. Here was his coach, Steve Nash. KD, just wow.
Man, just historic performance. I mean, he played the entire game. He barely missed.
That is true. He didn't miss much. Just 7 of the 23 did he miss. As for Harden, he went from out to doubtful to active, to in, and he played 46 minutes. Although his numbers weren't great, he still gave him what he had.
I tried to go out there and do the best that I can. Hopefully, I gave my teammates some encouragement, some life.
And well,
all right, it was a Willis Reed now. Everybody calm
Who
down.
Who called it Willis Reed?
I don't know, but but I will say this.
Overnight caller did while I was driving in.
Oh, is that true?
Yes.
46 minutes is tremendous on his part. And, you know, he knew he had to be out there, even though it wasn't great for him and by his standards, by any stretch of the imagination. But it just goes to show you, you know, the impact that he has when he's on the court. So, hey, look, I said yesterday, Jerry, just so we're all clear about this, that Kevin Durant had to put the team on his back. That's why they paid him the amount of money that they paid him.
I put the team on my back, dude.
And he did that last night. He's had a lot of great games in his career. And he played with that Warrior team that was ridiculous. There was a lot of open space for him that was different. Last night, every minute of the entire game, he's out there. And he shoots 16 of 23. And he has 17 rebounds and 10 assists.
And that, he was so good late.
That is a monster game. His fourth quarter was off the chain, but he that's a Hall of Fame performance, and nobody can say anything but that.
Yep, he says good win, but nothing's done.
I mean, we got another game. We got to travel tomorrow. And we got a game six. I mean, I can't celebrate because we won the game. We got another game to try to finish it out.
Hey, the question I have for you: you think Harden plays in game six?
I do. I think they really didn't want him to play last night, and he said, "I'm playing." That's what I mean. According to the reports, he said, "I feel good. I'm playing." So he went out there. He did it. He shot 1 for 10, but he was on the floor and did, I think, give them a little bit of a lift. They were down, or rather outscored Milwaukee in the second half, 71-49. Game six in Milwaukee tomorrow night. My one question for you guys as basketball fans would be, why, especially in the second half, where are the double teams?
Well, on Durant you're talking
yes.
about. Yeah, I know.
There were a couple, but...
You know, Jeff Green obviously answered the bell last night.
Oh, he did.
That's the thing.
And
once
he hit
you
his
have
first
now,
seven
you have
threes.
That, right, you have
right.
the secondary scoring from somewhere, thank God, because, you know, a couple guys on this team have basically lost their shooting touch.
No question. But don't you have to sit there and say, you know what, if Jeff Green's going to beat us, we'll live with it.
Yeah. Well, this is why I brought this up in the first segment with Harden. I wonder what the game would have looked like if Harden wasn't out there. I mean, people are focusing on how
That's fair.
Bad he was, but he was out there for over 40 minutes himself with Durant.
True.
And I know that he looked bad, but people are still thinking, James Harden's over here. I got to pay attention
yeah,
to him.
That's fair.
So maybe that's an answer for where if he's not in the game at all. I mean, you saw how difficult it was for Kevin Durant when Harden was out of game three. Right? I mean, it
sure.
was, and Kyrie had gone down. So, I mean, it's. I think that's probably a lot to do with it.
Probably so. So that'll be tomorrow night, game six. Nets can wrap it up. If not, they'll come back for a game seven. Julius Randle named second team All-NBA. Kyrie Irving named to the third team. Tonight in Philadelphia, game five, 76ers and Hawks. That series even at 2-2. And game five in Utah, Jazz and Clippers even at 2-2. All right, we get to the Islanders and the Lightning, and not the best night for the Isles.
Pelech trying to clear this up the near boards. This is held in by Coleman. Center point. Right circle, Goodrow. Barkley Goodrow to the right point, Ruda. Shoot, score! Yeah, Ruda!
I don't even know what he's saying. Jan Ruda.
I think it's the guy's name, maybe?
Jan Ruda, yes.
Jan Ruda, yes.
So that's... I don't think Semyon Varlamov even saw that shot. You know, that came from the point, and I think Brock Nelson was kind of in the line of sight.
I think it was Bailey.
It was a Bailey?
Yeah.
So that was Dave Mishkin on Lightning Radio. Tampa won 4-2. They even up the series at a game apiece. Yeah. That was Ruda's goal early in the third. Proved to be the deciding score. Braden Point, his 10th of the postseason as well. You also had the second goal of the night with too many men on the ice, as Barry Trotz will tell you. It certainly could have changed the game a bit.
Obviously, the second goal, that one hurt quite a bit because now you're, you know, if they get the third one, there's a little bit more separation. So, and obviously, you guys know there was too many men on the ice there. They had seven guys. So, disappointed at that.
I mean, of all the things you can review,
how is that not?
It should be reviewable. And then, you know, because everybody can see it. And the problem with it is that, you know, every announcer, every announced
sure.
team goes back and shows you how there are too many. Now, the seventh guy was close to the bench and he's not in the play. That's usually allowed. But there were six legitimate guys on the ice. And when you have one more than the other team has to be able to defend you with, you're going to have exactly what happened. You're going to have a guy coming flying down the middle. Nobody's around him. And it's basically a gimme goal. Now, you also had a cross check that was called. That wasn't called, and it was a goaltender interference called on Tampa by Braden Point when that shouldn't have been called either.
And it led to a power play goal for the Isles.
A power play goal. So things kind of even themselves out. I just thought that the referees last night were terrible for both teams. You know, as somebody watching this game and watching all these cross checks, I can't believe how many guys get nailed in the back and get just thrown to the ice, especially in the offensive zone. Like the offensive players have no chance. They have, you know, unless of course they move the puck around quickly and they find whatever little space there is out on the ice. But I thought the officiating was terrible last night.
Well, game three at the Coliseum will be tomorrow night as the venues shift. All right, to baseball now, and there are some that believe if you've got a chance to try and score, you send your runner. His name's Al. The Cubs tried this last night in the ninth inning and failed miserably.
Lugo sets 2-2 pitch.
Swinging a liner to right center. That's a base hit. Hustling into the gap is Pilar to cut it off. Mariznick on his way to third. He's going to be waved home. The relay throw to the plate by Guillorme. The slide. He is out at the plate. A head first slide. The relay throw by Guillorme cuts him down. Sogard goes to second, but there's a huge second out for the Mets.
It sure was. Howie Rose on WCBS 880.
Yeah. Hit the cutoff, man. What a throw by Guillorme.
It wasn't actually even that great of a throw. I mean, he bounced it to the opposite side of the plate. It just that they had enough time because Mariznick wasn't even close. McCann made a good play and got over there.
And instead, it's second and third, one out. I mean, you got a legit chance to tie the game, and instead you do that. But you know what? Good for the Mets.
So Pilar picks the ball up, and Mariznick is probably halfway between second and first.
Yeah.
Second and third. And you know, the other team always, they always say in baseball, make the other team throw and catch the ball. And caught the ball.
I mean, he's sending him around third as Guillorme's got the ball. Like, that throw would have had to have been terrible.
Right, and one out is the key.
And how many times do we see terrible throws when they hold him up?
Oh, for sure. But I think to G's point, that wasn't a great throw, and yet he still, you know, tagged him up by 5 feet. So, either way,
another
it's a win
for
the Mets.
For the
it is.
Oh, yeah.
And Pete Alonso, the game-tying two-run single early on, then the go-ahead sack fly in the fifth.
I thought he was going to hit a ding-dong
grand slam.
Grand slam right there, man.
A ding-dong grand slam.
Ding-dong!
Yeah.
And then you've got Taiwan Walker continues to pitch well. 7 innings, 2-run ball, 12 strikeouts. He improves to 6-2, ERA down to 2.12.
Yeah, what was awesome about him last night? Throwing strikes.
Yeah,
getting
and
the ball,
he works
and
quick.
Yeah, getting the ball, throwing. You know, Seth Lugo works quick too.
Yep.
And those guys are throwing first pitch strikes. Now, of course, they get a break last night with that out at home. But still, I mean, that's a great pitching performance last night by the Mets again.
Yeah, and he wasn't great early. There was a jam in the first and the second. He gave up some runs and he settled down and ended up being great, striking out 12.
He's throwing strikes, man.
I don't know why he reminds me of a thinner version of Bartolo Colon. His look, not quite as chubby.
You know, his body style reminds me of like Dylan Betances. Like, he's big shoulders.
All right.
And he's tall. He's not that tall, I don't think, but he looks like a real athlete.
Sure. Well,
speaking of real athletes,
you're going to get a fight. He's the guy off the bus first.
Jacob DeGrom and Robert Stock go tonight. Mets 9 games over .500 now.
Any concern with DeGrom tonight?
Yes. I don't love the fact that he's pitching, but only because they're playing well. You can't lose them. But, you know, we always sit there and say some of these guys, you know, for the smallest little bumps and bruises want to sit and rest.
I know.
You love that he wants to
And
touch.
He's already missed a couple of starts. You know, the thing with him, let's see how many sliders he throws tonight. That will be a telltale sign if that is exactly the pitch why he ended up leaving the game in the, you know, last week.
All right, let's get to the Yankees. They were in Buffalo. They needed a win. They were down 5-2, and yet they came right back for that win.
Yanks need a base hit from Frazier or LeMahieu to take the lead. And the pitch is lined. Base hit over third down the left field line. Rolling to the left field corner. It'll be an extra base hit. Wade scores. Frazier goes to second with a double. It's a ribby double for Frazier.
That is John Sterling with the call.
And who's your daddy?
Who is your daddy? 6-5 Yankees in front. 6-5 Yankees win. Now, along the way, there was a first major league home run for Chris Gittens. Now, I'm sure you've heard this, Jay. Of course you have.
Yeah, I heard it.
Have you heard this call yet, Bill?
Yes.
Oh, this is no fun. Well, Al, you have not yet, correct?
I've not heard this.
Eddie, have you heard it?
No.
Any guesses inside?
Getting jiggy with it.
No,
that would
okay.
Be getting
all right.
Miggy with it.
What's the name again?
Gittens.
Chris Gittens.
No, I got nothing.
No guesses. Okay.
Gittens has kittens.
That's what I said to Al before I heard it. I'm thinking he's going to do something with kitten or mittens. I don't know. What he came up with, not great.
Pitched, Gittens swings, hits one to deep left. It is high. Mid is far. It is gone. Out of the ballpark for his first major league hit. Chris Gittens. Who is he? He's Chris Hard-Hitting Gittens. And he homers out of the...
I got one. It just came to me. Chris is giving the Blue Jays Fittens Gittens.
That's pretty good.
I thought that sucked.
No, that's better than what he just came up with.
I'd have to hear him say it. You saying it's one thing. I'd have to hear him say it live.
He's giving him fittins. You know, gittins. That's pretty good.
Giving him fittins, gittins.
That's better than that crap.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It absolutely, unabashedly sucks.
Unabashedly sucked was your kittens one.
Kittens. No,
are you yelling at me when?
Because you're yelling at me.
I'm not yelling at you.
That was your voice.
Yeah, I know. That's Eddie pressing the buttons. You should be yelling at Eddie.
To me, the thing about that home run that's fascinating is not the call, but the people that are hanging out.
You hate John Sterling.
I love John. No,
you
that's
hate
not
him.
True.
You
that
hate
is
him.
Not true. I love John.
No, you hate him.
I hate
I
that call.
You hate him.
That's a bad call.
That call's terrible.
He doesn't like
John.
John Carlo hate him. But anyway, the Blue Jays fans and the Buffalo fans that are hanging out on the exit of an interstate.
I know. Isn't that something?
Trying to get the baseball.
He comes running across the road. Like, that road's got to be closed, no?
I don't know. I mean, what happens if a car comes up and up? He's not looking anywhere. I mean,
right.
Somebody could just run him right over.
Better hope that car's got insurance and not Fugazi jersey or Texas plates.
Replay this highlight. I mean, I guess the road is probably closed.
TV, yes.
But replay the highlight on CBS Sports Network if you could there, Stephen Waldron and crew. And then watch these guys that are sitting there hanging out on an exit of a highway that are running to get the ball, not looking anywhere. And I'm picture a car coming up and clocking this kid.
It'd be like something out of the Naked Gun.
Right, exactly. All right, here they go.
Egg roads have to be closed. There's not a car in sight.
Then why are they
not? It's not closed.
Yeah,
there was a car right there.
This is what I'm trying to tell. Why would they not be hanging out in the road then? They're all on the other side of the thing. So that's why.
That's a Yankee fan, too.
There's a sign for the Peace Bridge.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
Know.
Why are they playing
there
still? I thought
the same thing. You know, it's funny, though. Until you just replayed it like that, I didn't notice the car until just now, right before.
That guy wasn't looking.
He
was trying to get that ball.
He's lucky it wasn't splat.
I know. That's what I was trying to say. It's crazy.
Wow. Interesting. So the Yankees get a win they needed. 34-32 now. DJ LeMahieu did score on a wild pitch in the seventh to tie the game at 5. Also, I know we're running out of time, but I want to get to Tyler Glass now because the Rays did lose last night. They lost 3-0 to the White Sox. But earlier in the day, we found out that Glass now, who we told you the night before, came out of the game with an elbow injury. He's got a partially torn UCL and a flexor tendon strain. Now, this comes back to the whole substance issue on the baseball. And he admits 100% that he uses something. Now he's not, and look what happened.
My substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. Like, just nothing egregious, something to where I can get a grip on the ball so it doesn't feel dusty. But two starts ago against the Nationals, I went cold turkey, nothing. I don't use sticky stuff. I don't use spider tack. I don't need more spin. I have huge hands. I spin the ball fine. I want grip. I did well against the Nationals, probably one of the best starts I had all year. I woke up the next day and was like, I am sore in places that I didn't even know I had muscles.
And so he 100% believes he tore his UCLA because he's gripping a ball too hard.
His UCLA?
Well, there you go.
UCL.
Did I say UCLA?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't catch it. Did he tear it?
I might have. I've done that before. Partially torn.
Partially torn. Oh, so he's done.
And so he's hoping to be back at the end of the season and in time for the playoffs.
Really? Wow.
Well, I don't know how severe the tear is.
So he's going to try to do it. Who did this? Didn't
Tanaka?
Was it Tanaka? One of the maybe it was Tanaka. Maybe it was Otani.
I feel like Tanaka had partially torn.
And he pitched with it.
Yeah, and he kept pitching. Yeah,
right. He didn't want to go Tommy John. That's,
correct.
That was the thing.
And he's never had it. And I think he's pitching in Japan now still.
How is he pitching in Japan? I wonder if the Yankees can bring him back.
I haven't checked.
Yeah.
I could try and find a box score.
The Chiba Latte Marine.
I have no idea who he's pitching for. Yeah. I don't know. Dodgers beat the Phillies 5-3. Red Sox over the Braves 10-8. Max Scherzer to the injured list, groin injury. Cody Bellinger to the injured list, hamstring injury. And in that Phillies game last night with the Dodgers, Bryce Harper and Gene Segura left the game with injuries. Harper, back tightness, Segura, groin injury. And Aaron Rodgers promoting the golf event with Tom Brady, Bryson DeChambeau, and Phil Mickelson wore a shirt on a video chat with TNT that said, quote, "I'm offended." And you got the U.S. Open starting this week. DeChambeau apparently declined playing alongside Brooks Koepka in the first couple of rounds.
Oh, come on. You got to embrace it.
I don't disagree with you, but as the story goes, they reached out to his agent to see if they would be okay with that, and he said, no thanks.
Yeah, and Brooks said, I don't think there's some sort of conflict. We just don't like one another. That's what he said.
Well, you know, we had Brooks in here how many years ago?
A couple years, 2 years, maybe.
And that's when Brooks had it with Bryson and the analytics and the slow play. And that was before Bryson blew up and, you know, started lifting weights and gotten bigger and using a 48-inch driver and all this other nonsense that's been going on over the last 2 years. So you can imagine just how annoyed Brooks Koepka is at him.
Yeah, I think Brooks, though, would have played with him. I think he would have.
I believe so.
I'm smitten with Gittens. That's pretty good, too.
That's better.
That's better than mine.
Yeah. But I know you hate John, so that's all right.
Not bad.
He doesn't hate John.
No, not at all.
John. He hates John.
That's not true.
He plays a lot of John mistakes.
So I think, actually, I don't anymore.
I feel like you're angling for the radio job for the Yankees.
No.
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 If they offered it to you, would you take it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Angling for it? No. Actually, no.
No.
Not angling for it.
What was worse, the Nonce Posto Parlo or this hitting with Gittens?
This one, not hitting, whatever he said. This didn't seem like he was ready.
He had to have been thinking about it.
Come on, John's creative. He could do better than that.
Yeah, but even when he tries to go above and beyond, like the Nonce Posto Parlo. Like
Lady Marmalade! Ichi, gichi, ya, ya, da, da.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, very good. Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer's got something for you. We'll come right back.
Yeah, I think we hit on something here.
What's that? That Jerry hates John Sterling and he wants his Yankee job?
Yeah.
You hate the Nets a lot more than I just like John Sterling.
I'll tell you one thing. I do have respect for KD after last night.
I love John.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Last night, you've got this image of Steve Nash hugging Kevin Durant. And, of course, Steve Nash being shorter than Kevin Durant, he's pressing his head into his chest in this emotional moment.
Into his breastplate.
Into his breastplate. And it reminded Jerry and others of the time that Deontay Wilder and I, who, by the way, is getting ready to fight Tyson Fury again with much less fanfare this time around, after the ass-kicking that was handed to him in fight number two. But it reminded a lot of people of the time that me and Deontay Wilder embraced. And there was
You nestled your head into his breastplate.
He also nestled... His head. Yes, he did. I told you this before. You do not want to believe me. Deontay Wilder, he pulled me in and he put his head into the nook of my shoulder because he's taller, obviously. And he put his head into my nook between my shoulder and head and neck area. And then I felt like I had to go in. So then
You went in like you were breastfeeding.
And then I nestled into his bosom.
I mean, if he had breast milk, you would have been all over that.
No, I did not go face first. I went side first.
So you would have went face first had he been breastfeeding.
Right, but I would not have been. That would have been an odd time to feed.
That did give people the image in their mind of where your head was, and like if you turned your head face first, his nipple would have been right in your mouth.
Probably, yes. Yeah, right around there. But that was initiated by him because he said there was so much positive energy that day that I was exuding and he wanted to feed off of it. So he came over to me and he gave me that hug and then he put his head in there. Which one was more awkward looking to you? The Steve Nash, Kevin Durant nestling, or the me and Deontay Wilder?
You and Deontay Wilder.
That was more awkward to you,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, only because, like, Steve and Kevin are athletes.
So when athletes are doing it, it's a coach and a player.
Yeah, you know, it's like they had a big game and there was a big performance and there was a real reason to have, like, a joyous hug after that game. And it obviously was very random, you know. It just happened because they were both so happy. I mean, when Deontay came in here, I thought you were a little much.
Yeah.
I mean, a little much.
Okay.
I know you're a big fan. You used to be a big fan
of
his.
And then all the excuses he had after getting his ass kicked really turned me off. But I thought that this was more awkward because you're talking about a coach and a player. Coach and players aren't supposed to have like that type of...
It's his first year coach. You know, he hasn't coached before.
He looked like he was about to cry.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a performance worth crying over. I mean, that's how good it was.
If he would have broke out in tears last night, Steve Nash, you would have not been like, that's a little strange.
He may have behind the scenes.
I mean, my goodness. I mean, he was really emotional nestling into Kevin Durant at that moment.
Wouldn't you be emotional if you were the coach saying, Kevin, please go win the game for us?
I don't know if I'd be emotional. I mean, I've seen many guys. Like, remember when Larry Bird used to coach, and no matter what happened, he was just completely stoic? He never used to celebrate. His team would hit a big three, and he'd just sit there and stare.
He's Larry Bird. So, you know, Steve Nash in his own right was a great player.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I expect more out of guys who have played the game as opposed to emotional nestling of your superstar player.
Well, they've been emotionally nestling that superstar player for 2 years.
No, I know. Well, he finally showed up in the biggest of moments.
Oh, he's showed up. He's always shows up.
But this was like the time where you're like, all right, Kevin Durant's on the Nets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you 100%.
This was the first time last night you were like, all right, Kevin Durant's on the Brooklyn Nets, and they're probably going to go and win a championship. Out of all this time, really it was.
You know, like I like Kevin's take on it. It's one game. We haven't accomplished anything. There's a lot more to do.
Yeah.
See, that's why you got to take it, you know, one quarter, one half, one game at a time. So the first quarter was not good for the Nets last night. They only had 15 points. Mm-hmm. But as Jerry said, they scored 71 points in the second half.
Yes.
And they won the second half 71-49.
Yeah, it was
that's
ugly.
That's how bad the Bucks were. And thank God for Jeff Green as well.
Yeah, would you, if you were Kevin Durant, would you go full shave on that head? There's a big patch now. Like
yeah,
a big one.
I know.
I mean, it makes him look like 15 years older than he is.
I think you got to take it all off.
You got to go all off, I think.
And then if you feel like you need a little something, just do what Billy Jocalone did.
Wouldn't that be something? You want to talk about an endorsement opportunity? Get the hair tattoo for Kevin Durant.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.